You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
He was barred from running in the 2018 Brazilian presidential election after being imprisoned for corruption and money laundering. However, after his charges were nullified, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva is back in the same office he occupied from 2003 to 2010. Lula narrowly won the runoff election against incumbent Jair Bolsonaro, whose time in office was defined by loosening environmental protections and his mishandling of the COVID-19 pandemic. To get some more insight into the election, I spoke to Associate Professor Waleska Pino Ojeda, Director of the New Zealand Centre for Latin American Studies, and started by asking her for some context as to who Lula is and why Brazilians wanted him to return.
There are probably two central aspects that explains Lula's popularity, not only in Brazil, but in all Latin America and then beyond, which is the fact that he is a completely, as we can say in political terms, an organic intellectual in relation to his background. He's coming from very humble backgrounds, working class with a single mother from the provinces, and then moved to Sao Paulo. And he started to work at the very young age, and then basically he became a union leader. In that capacity, when he was about 35 years old in 1980, he was one of the leading figures in the creation of the Partidos dos Trabalhadores, the Workers' Party in Brazil. So that is the first time that in which a political party is going to be created to represent that part of the population in Brazil. And then he ran for presidency three times before he was elected in 2002. He was the governor of the Sao Paulo state. And in 2002, he was elected for the first time after three times before, right? So in that context, he arrives to the main office in the political establishment in Brazil from that background as the first working class leader then, and continue to be the same, right? And his policies were mainly focused on social justice. Brazil was very notorious for having an incredible inequality in terms of distribution of wealth. It's an incredible wealthy country, of course, but very problematic when it comes to distribution. Of course, Brazil is not alone in that regard, because many other countries in Latin America, in the world, have that situation. But historically, Brazil, that has been the fact. And we have to understand also that Lula arrives to power when we are still very much in the middle still of the neoliberal ideology of market economy. Even in that context, he implemented social measures that incredibly supported the poorest sectors of the Brazilian population, lifting out of poverty about 20 million people. So that's not an insignificant figure. Probably then Brazil had 200 million. Right now it's about 215 million population. So it's a huge percentage. 20 million is not something that we can just say something simple, right? So that is his primary CV when it comes to a political leader that really focuses on basically providing for the people, very charismatic, incredibly intelligent. Another important aspect beyond the social is also that he became an international figure, because he has this incredible capacity to connect with the people, and Brazil became a global leader. He made Brazil to be part of very important international fora. Brazil is part of the G20 with Argentina, with the other Latin American country, but his presence became very preeminent. He did a lot in terms of energy, basically in changing also the energetic matrix for Brazil. And he was also one of the leaders that was pushing for the BRICS formation, the group of countries that in some ways, the big economies of the world that, however, do not have a similar weight in the most established international institutions such as the UN. No? The BRICS stands for Brazil, Russia, India, South Africa, and China, right? So in many respects, he became such a respectable leader inside Brazil because of the social policies, also for making very explicit policies and implementation of different environmental policies, and abroad because of his basically leadership and really representing extremely well the Latin American region abroad.
And now that Lula's got through the door, there's now an uphill battle because Congress is filled with Bolsonaro supporters. Will this pose a challenge for Lula, or do you think that he can breach this divide?
That's a very common challenge these days, right? That you have these leaders gaining power and then the Congress is divided. We can see that in the United States. And in Latin America, that's the case also of Chile, in which you have progressive governments that confront that obstacle, that they have to basically to see how to pass important policies through Congress. I think that that's a very real obstacle, and in a very realistic terms, the government of Lula will have to navigate that with incredible diplomacy, with a lot of conversation and dialogue. And I believe that they will be able to do that because there is a very realistic approach to that. And again, Lula's abilities as a very important conversationist and basically to persuade people and to charm people, but although in this case it's about hard policies, of course, but there is a lot of abilities, a lot of skills that will have to be basic placed into the service of advancing, but probably some policies won't be implemented because the Congress won't be willing to approve those. But also I believe that the civil society in Brazil is very mobilized at the moment, right? And believe that if central policies are becoming, not debated enough or not approved in Congress, very likely the civil society, those supporters of Brazil, of Lula, will go to the streets because that's now a very common trend in many parts of the world, especially in Latin America. So that is going to really put a lot of pressure on politicians, on congressmen, to take care because they don't want the economy to suffer. They don't want the country to be paralyzed, et cetera, et cetera. So, yes, that's a very tough scenario, but I think that the political skills of Lula and those basically that join him in his government will be instrumental in this. And also, I believe that there is another factor. The election of Bolsonaro has been a little bit erratic in some ways, and media has a lot to do with that, right? So Brazil and other Latin American countries have not been exempt from fake news, etc., and this very aggressive approach in which people have been targeted and bombarded with certain messages and certain news, that probably will be somehow moderated, I believe, because Brazil has very good public media. So I also believe that in some ways, if that very toxic environment in the news it becomes moderated and the people also has more opportunity to get to know what exactly is going on and to what extent the policies that are being pushed forward are to their benefit, things may also change. But again, I am speaking in some ways with a very optimistic view, but also from my view as a political studies expert, the role of the civic society, the role of culture, and the role of media. And I believe that that's going to be very important in this instance.
And we finally heard from Bolsonaro today. However, he only spoke for 2 minutes, and in his speech he made no reference to whether he would accept the election result, nor did he congratulate Lula. There were concerns that he could refuse to concede, Trump-style, I guess. Mm-hmm. What impact would Bolsonaro's lack of cooperation have on the transition?
I think that he has accepted the transition so the government of Lula can start setting up. So although he has not publicly admitted his defeat, and he has not placed any obstacles for the transition to start getting organized, which the government of Lula will start in January. So you can see there are two different messages then. The way I read this is a little bit like a psychological manipulation. You have here a former military captain, right? So in that regard, I think that he is using that silence and that basically lack of statements in order to create a sense of suspense, a little bit of intimidation, I would say. But on the other hand, he's not posing any real institutional obstacles for the new administration to get in office. So I think that we have to be cautious about those gestures of his. He has not been calling on his supporters to create any protests, etc. He has not said don't do that, but on the other hand, he's not calling on them to create any form of violence. So he's not instigating any form of civic insurrection, if you wish. So I believe that this is just because he's probably coming to terms with the reality and in some ways accepting the defeat little by little. There is a lot of pride in this business, right? So he's not a diplomat, certainly. So not necessarily he is very attuned with the political culture of Brazil, the continent, etc., in which the custom is to call your opponent, accept, and then make a public statement. He certainly is not doing that, but he has accepted that the transition of power can start right now, so Lula will take office in January.
And finally, what response have we seen from Bolsonaro supporters, given that it was quite a narrow victory?
Well, they are very, you can see that there are probably two sort of behaviors, right? There a lot of sadness. People is really, really sad. Those are that very sad. In some ways, I believe that Lula is going to create a sort of a moral chaos in the country, right? Because many of Bolsonaro's supporters are in some ways quite fundamentalist evangelicals in the Latin American sense of evangelical. And so in some ways they are very conservative. They are also from very poor backgrounds, many of them, however, because again of the incredible ideological campaign against, for instance, minority gender rights, women's rights, abortion, etc., they have not been able to see to what extent those policies have nothing to do with moral grounds, etc. So there is a huge sector of Bolsonaro's supporters that certainly won't go for a violent reaction, and what they are afraid of is some sort of a moral decay, if you wish, right? But there is another sector, basically also coming from the militaries, from the upper classes, from those who have benefited the most from the deforestation of extensions of the Amazonian jungle. And these are basically business sectors, medium size, etc. That reaction probably is a little bit more problematic, and we will have to keep an eye on that. They were the ones blocking the roads, etc. So that really poses a little bit of a challenge, some form of threat, I believe. But on the other hand, I believe also that in Brazil there is a very concerted effort, well, mainly now in the population that has supported Lula, that institutional, democratic institutions and democratic dialogue has to be restored, because Bolsonaro was really ruling in a very autocratic manner, right? And using all the powers that they have basically in their hands to convince the population and do a little bit of this populist form of government, right? So, but there is a huge energy, an enormous desire, basically, among the Brazilian population to restore democracy, to restore public dialogue and democratic forms of engagement. Yes, there is a sector of that population that is a little bit hard to predict on how they are going to react. So we just have to be hopeful that things won't become basically negative, dangerous in Brazil.
That was Associate Professor Waleska Pino Ojeda, Director of the New Zealand School for Latin American Studies, chatting to me about the presidential election in Brazil.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.